Hello and welcome to the China Business Brief, a podcast from the China Booking Business Council where we explain the latest news relevant to anyone working in or with the world's second largest economy. I'm Joe Cash, and this week I'm delighted to be joined by Nicolas Chapuis, Ambassador of the European Union to China, for a closer look at current affairs in EU-China relations. 2021 was a tumultuous year for the relationship. It began with both sides celebrating agreement over a new investment deal, the Comprehensive Agreement on Investment, or CAI for short. But fast forward to the present day, and members of the European Parliament have voted to put the deal on ice, while the European Commission recently launched consultations at the WTO over steps China has taken to freeze Lithuania out of its economy. Today's guest is a man charged with leading the EU delegation in China and making sense of it all. And so all that is left to say is, Ambassador, a very warm welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. And the place I would like to begin is, it's been close to a year since you last spoke to CBBC. Do you consider EU-China relations to have broadly improved or deteriorated in that time?
Well, nobody will say that it has improved. That's certain. 2021 was indeed a difficult year. By the way, not only for the EU, but for all partners of China. And I think that March 2021, when China, on one hand, rejected the Biden's administration's reset of relations with them, and a few days later in March, the Chinese decided to impose countermeasures on our very limited sanctions related to Xinjiang, this has created a new situation. And so it's not only the EU-China relation that has been affected last year, but China's relations with the rest of the world, basically. And it has many factors, but I will not go into them in detail. What is important, I think, is that even though things are difficult, there is this awareness in Europe that we need to continue to engage. And that's what the foreign ministers of the European Union member states agreed on when they last met in January under the French presidency and talked about China. No global issue is going to be resolved without China. So however difficult the situation may be, whatever the reasons are, there is no alternative to engagement. And so what we need to do is to ensure business continuity, as we have done in the second half of last year, when we had a series of high-level meetings. The High Representative, Josep Borrell, spoke with Foreign Minister Wang Yi many times. And Charles Michel, the President of the European Council, spoke to President Xi Jinping on 15th of October. So engagement remains the key. It's not business as usual. We are not in 2020 or in 2019 anymore, but we need to stabilize what is a very important relationship between two of the three larger economies in the world.
Obviously, from the business community, one highlight of last year was the agreement of the CAI. Do you feel that the relationship, how it's changed over the course of 2021, does that put the CAI totally on ice? Obviously, France has now adopted the EU's rotating presidency, and commentators at the time were quick to talk up Macron holding the reins of the EU as key to securing the deal's ratification. Do you envision the French president to bring it back, or do you think that the relationship has moved beyond a point where a CAI between the EU and China is plausible?
No, I think there are two different issues here. One is the CAI per se. The agreement that has been negotiated is there, exists, and it is a good agreement because it allowed both sides, the EU and China, to find a positive way forward to what we call rebalancing, meaning better reciprocity of market access for investors. So the CAI, as such, independently of any other processes, is a good agreement. And the Chinese are very keen, by the way, to make it happen, as the European Commission is. But politically, due to the Chinese sanctions of March 21st, 2021, there is no possibility today to review it in the European Parliament. And the Chinese know it. So unless sanctions against the European Parliament are lifted, there will be no review, so no possible ratification of that agreement. But nothing stops the Chinese to do it on their side. The Chinese can implement any piece of unilateral legislation they wish. If, as we hear every day, the country is open to investment and the door of opening up will just go wider, then the Chinese can get inspiration from Kai and enact legislation in order to further the European Union's companies' market access to China. On the French side, there is absolutely no indication that there will be any form of breakthrough on the issue until the sanctions are lifted. It is a united European Parliament resolution, and member states have no other choice than to accept it. So, what we need to do now is find a way out of these sanctions. The Chinese, by the way, sent a number of missions to Europe in November 2021 to try to find an exit strategy, because they want this investment relationship to continue to be productive.
So I suppose the killer question is, are you optimistic that the news that the UN will be allowed to go on, well, it's been described by China as a joint exercise, I can't remember the exact wording, to Xinjiang, or do you think that that is more of continued effort from China to actually prevent the UN from going to the province? I remember last time that I interviewed you, you mentioned that the invitations that European embassies had received to date were not ambitious enough and were not what the West wanted to see. Do you feel that there is any indication from China that it is willing to provide European capitals, leaders and diplomats with what they need to see to have confidence that there is a way out of the sanctions and a return to the negotiating table for something like the CAI?
Well, it's really up to China to decide what it wants. And for Kai, the economic considerations are paramount. It has nothing to do with Xinjiang. It has everything to do with investment. So if China does not take action to answer European companies' request for market access, then it will find itself in a difficult position. So the Xinjiang issue is another issue. There is a situation which needs to be resolved because access to truth is hindered today in Xinjiang. So will the High Commissioner for Human Rights be allowed to do what the UN Secretary General called a few days ago a credible visit to Xinjiang? And everything is in the word credible? Or will it be, like China says, a friendly visit with no presumption of guilt? So it is highly political. And the thing is, if, as China claims, there is no issue in Xinjiang, then why is it so difficult to organize the visit of the High Commissioner for Human Rights? Very simply, you cannot imagine a productive economic relationship if trade and investment are politically weaponized. That's the issue. There are always political differences between states, but it shouldn't impair normal trade and investment relationships.
So on the subject of the politicization of trade and economic relations, how optimistic are you that the European Commission and China can reach a positive conclusion in the consultations that have been launched within the WTO over Lithuania? And do you feel that China will react positively to the UK, the US, Australia and Taiwan having requested to join these consultations? Is that a small blip in the economic relationship, and will China use these consultations to clearly demonstrate its willingness to get back to the table with the Europeans and to try and attract more foreign investment?
Well, the fact that we asked for consultations at the WTO has had already a positive outcome, because before we did that on 27th of January, China had refused to engage bilaterally on the issue, denying that there was any issue relative to trade with Lithuania. However, Chinese customs figures for December 2021 has shown that trade with Lithuania has been cut by 91%. So clearly something is happening. And the fact that the Chinese, that's a positive outcome I wanted to mention, the Chinese have accepted consultations in the WTO. And that was not a given. They could have refused, but they have accepted. So we will engage into these consultations. And as you mentioned, other parties at the WTO have asked to join. On our side, we are open for any WTO party to join our consultations with China on the Lithuania issue. What will be China's answers? That's not for me to speculate.
And so it's bringing it back closer towards the UK. The UK is looking forward to finally being able to have bilateral trade talks with China. It looks like we're going to have a JETCO towards the end of this month and an EFD later in the year. France recently concluded its economic and financial dialogue with China. The policy outcomes paper of the meeting included language on the two countries finding synergies between the EU's new Global Gateway Initiative and China's Belt and Road. Do you think that there are synergies to be found there, or do you think that China is not going to particularly appreciate Europe moving into an area that it has managed to bring closer into its sphere of influence, particularly in sub-Saharan Africa and Indo-Pacific?
Well, the language you are referring to in the French-China bilateral economic and financial dialogue is, in fact, European language. Okay? And before we had Global Gateway, we had what we called the Asia-Europe Connectivity Action, which was launched in 2018. We had, at the last Belt and Road Initiative Forum in the spring of 2019 in Beijing, we had already put out this idea that we should look for synergies between European development policy and BRI, that Europe will not join BRI. But we were ready, if China was willing to, look for common joint projects if there were any point of convergence between BRI and what we were doing. Since then, the connectivity initiative has been enlarged and has become what we call Global Gateway, which is a flagship initiative of the European Commission and whose first practical instance will be unveiled at the EU-African Union Summit next week in Brussels. The President of the Commission was yesterday in Dakar, Senegal, and announced 150 billion euros being put on the table in the framework of Global Gateway in Africa. So it shows how serious we are in bringing up a high standards initiative on development and infrastructures. So if China wishes to meet us halfway, as they say very often, and that on development policy initiatives are ready to work with the European Union, will be always ready to talk with the Chinese.
So I'll finish as I started. It sounds like there is a lot of potential for EU-China relations looking into 2022. What is your biggest hope for the relationship over the course of the coming year?
Well, we are preparing an EU-China summit that could not take place in 2021 for the reasons I've mentioned before. And we are asking ourselves and with the Chinese that question. What do we want to do? What is the positive agenda that both sides can work together on? The Chinese tell us that they wish for more cooperation. And we have cooperation in many different fields. For COP26, the Glasgow meeting, we had a very productive relationship with the Chinese negotiators. For the COP15 in Kunming, is the same thing. And we are today preparing very closely with China part two of the COP15. On energy, evidently a major issue today in Europe, we have also a quite productive dialogue with China. And I've just spoken about development policy, where there is potential. So we have the foundations for a positive engagement. On CAI itself, or investment and trade relationship, there is always potential for China to be true to its word. Huh? Open wider. What does it mean for our companies? How many of the companies' issues is China ready to take on board? You know, in the last EU Chamber of Commerce report, 900 proposals. So how many of these proposals China will take up? So we'll see what happens in the next few weeks, but I'm personally confident that we have sufficiently common interest to work on what I call a positive agenda. However, we say that this is only possible if we are on both sides in a position to address our differences. Sanctions on the European Parliament are simply not acceptable from a partner.
Ambassador, thank you for coming on the podcast. You've been an excellent guest. One final question that's very popular with our listeners who unfortunately would love to be in China, but due to the travel restrictions find it difficult to get here. Interest in the country is only growing, and you know, it's hard to get a clear picture of what's going on here given the travel restrictions. Is there anything that you have read or seen recently that you think makes indispensable reading or watching for anyone stuck outside of China but wants to get a sense of what life is like within the bubble?
Well, I think the Winter Games have provided your listeners with a lot of media coverage describing the bubble. And a positive side of a bubble is that infections are extremely limited or absent. The negative side is that there is a bubble, and that the interaction of the public with the athletes is non-existent today, which makes this Olympic feast less palatable than it used to be. I think that due to the evolution of the pandemic, the Chinese travel restrictions are here to stay. So for people who are outside the bubble, what I would advise is monitor the excellent media coverage coming out of China. The rare journalist correspondents who are still here are doing an incredible job. And measure, maybe in a more detailed way than they are accustomed to right now, measure the level of frustration that is today the reality here for expatriates in China. And when you look also at what is happening in Hong Kong, where zero COVID policy is becoming also the norm, things are really getting complicated. And so we need the support of all the people who are outside the Chinese bubble in order for those inside the bubble to continue to do the work they are expected to do.
Well, Ambassador Choupuy, thank you for coming on the China Business Brief.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time with another episode. Goodbye. The China Business Brief is a podcast brought to you by the China Britain Business Council. If you enjoyed this podcast, make sure you're subscribed. To find out more about our other events and activities, do check out our website at www.cbdc.org.